Yeah, so let me start. Oh, so it is my great pleasure to be here, and I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation. Today I'm going to talk about order parameter for chaos. So I want to mention that this talk is based on a very preliminary work. So originally I was a bit hesitant to talk about unfinished work, but I somehow changed my mind. I have about this project. I have been talking to Xiaolian and Daniel Roberts, Xiaolian Key and Daniel Roberts. So, and anyway, let's get started. So, in recent years, we have seen that an increasing number of quantum information theoretical ideas become very useful in studying quantum gravity problems. And here are some examples. And as a quantum information theorist, I was really fascinated by this growing emerging field. And so that's why I wrote this paper with Ferdinand Pastowsky, who explained this result a few hours ago. And so I'm still interested in these kind of things. So today I'm going to talk about scrambling. The reason is, in summary, Ferdinand's talk is basically, if you give me some space time, then I just discretize it and tile it with perfect tensors. But perfect tensors are like much like random state. So it's like scrambling. So I want to understand scrambling more. So that's the motivation for me. So what is the fast scrambling conjecture? Well, it seems that many people believe that black holes do not destroy information, rather it emits microstate in Hawking radiation. And so just like a radiating object. And this here. So in this sense, black holes unitarily thermalize, and local disturbances at the initial stage will be quickly forgotten, in a sense that any local measurement cannot distinguish this information about the local disturbances at the beginning. And Hayden and Preskill estimated the scrambling time of black hole, log n. But later, Sekinon and Susskind made a fast scrambling conjecture, which says the following. The most rapid scramblers take a logarithmic time, and also black holes are the fastest scramblers in nature. But
Will it be fine scrambling?
so, you mean precise definition, or
Yes.
I
Loose definition.
loose,
What is
de
state?
loose definition will be like you start from some state, and then you change the system a little bit by applying some local operator. So you have, let's say, two states. And you let the system evolve under some Hamiltonian. And then we ask, like, after some amount of time, whether we can detect the difference by local measurement or not. Like, a bit loose definition, but. So that was the conjecture. And then recently, this conjecture has been further sharpened, and they derived the upper bound on the speed of the scrambling time, and then they conjecture that if the system saturates the bound, then maybe such a system have a gravitational dual description. And then there is an unpublished work by Kitaev, which is closely related to such the Fourier model, which was proposed around, let's say, 20 years ago. And seems these models saturate the bound. And if you are interested in more rigorous definition, I think you should talk to Nima. Maybe you defined it in your paper somehow rigorously. Anyway, so that's fast scrambling conjecture. But why I want to study scrambling is it seems to me that in almost all the arguments concerning black hole information paradoxes, somehow scrambling is assumed. So, for example, final state proposal assumes that the final state is a scrambled state, and also Hallow-Hayden conjecture concerns the computational difficulty of the decoding Hawking radiation. And black hole complementarity also puts interesting constraints on the scrambling schedules and the speed of the scrambling. And also, as I mentioned, this perfect tensor network, basically space-time is made of perfect tensors, which are much like scrambled state. So for these reasons, I'm interested in scrambling these days. So in order to formally attack this problem of the scrambling, I would just like to recall the very old idea in quantum information theory, which is called the Choi-Jamiokowski isomorphism. This is just saying, like, you can view the quantum channel as a state. So let's try to make the story simple. Let's assume that I have a unitary circuit, some unitary operator. You think of injecting some input state, these are orthogonal state with some statistical ensemble, and then you get some output state. You basically send the information and these are the output. But the point is, and you can view this quantum channel as a pure state by doing this. That is, if you trace out the right-hand side, you get this statistical ensemble, and if you trace out the left-hand side, you get this ensemble. So this basically defines a sort of a quantum channel. So perhaps the easiest example of this Choi-Jamiel-Kolsky isomorphism is, of course, thermofield double state, which are like a CFT, two CFT connected by Einstein-Rosen bridge. And so in time revolution, under time evolution, this wormhole length becomes longer and longer, but you can view this as like a quantum channel. So now, under this setting, so I would like to look for maybe a good quantity to study and detect chaotic behavior. For this reason, let me assume first that, so I'm going to assume this isomorphic formalism. So given a unitary operator, I can view this as a pure state. Now, let's assume that the system is very chaotic. Then what do I expect for the system?
Do you mean that it does not look like a maximally pure state, actually?
If maximally
entangled. Yeah,
I mean, oh, I'm maximally entangled. Yeah. Here. Yes.
So p is all the same.
So if my input ensemble is a random and random sampling, yes. Okay. But I could say like I can restrict my input ensemble to be a more smaller subspaces. But yeah. So it's like infinite temperature case is the maximally entangled. And so in order for the system to be chaotic, first of all, let's assume that I do something to region A, let's say local disturbances, then I don't want anyone to detect the information about A by measuring C, because C is a local region. So for this reason, I want this mutual information between A and C to be very, very small. But similarly, I want the mutual information between A and D to be very, very small too, because D is again a local region. And now this is very important to think about AC and AD, both of them, because if this is a free fermion time evolution, let's say, then you can create local excitation which will propagate ballistically. But then this excitation may end up in region D, but by measuring region D, you can easily see what happened in region A. So that's something I want to avoid. So, but you can also think about another quantity, that is mutual information between A and CD. This is like the total amount of information about A you can know by measuring C and D jointly. So this quantity must be large, because if this is small, then I cannot transmit any information. So it's very useless channel. So with these observations, so this quantity must be small and large, then there's one easy guess for the order parameter, that is plus, minus, minus. So the naive guess would be like, in order for the system to be chaotic, this quantity must be very big. Okay, so let's do a bit of calculation. So I just expand these quantities by using entropic function. Then you notice that this is like anti-symmetric summation of an entropic function, A, C, D, and so on. But this is just the famous tripartite information. So yes, tripartite information is defined like this, I3, ABC is this one. So there is a, so here I have plus, 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 minus, 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 plus, but here minus, minus. So this is actually like a negative of the tripartite information. So now you might think that, this tripartite information is I3ABD, no, ACD, sorry. So it's a bit not symmetric, but it's known that tripartite information is symmetric. So IABC is equal to IABD and so on. So this is actually a very symmetric quantity to look at. So in order for the system to be very chaotic, the tripartite information must be small, I mean, very, very negative. Okay, so yes, so let me briefly recall basic properties of the tripartite information. But first of all, I don't think this name is good because it actually measures only four-party entanglement. It doesn't detect any three-party entanglement in a sense that for a pure state, if you split the system into three regions, A, B, C, then this quantity is always zero. So this quantity is not sensitive to two-party entanglement or three-party entanglement. So that's one point. And the second point is, so this is a good order parameter to detect topological order. In the sense that this is, if you compute this quantity for gapped quantum system, which satisfy the area law, then you can detect the total quantum dimension of the system. And actually there is a quite rigorous proof that if in order for the gapped system to store quantum information securely in a global way, then this quantity must be negative. Okay, and then probably for this audience, the most important, very famous one is the holographic inequality. That's just being explained, but for state with a gravitational dual description, this quantity must be non-positive. This is a very good news because we sort of already know that I3 is related to ADS-CFT closely, and then also we sort of know that ADS-CFT and fast scrambling are related. So we want to establish the connection between I3 and fast scrambling. Then finally, I would like to mention that this I3, it will be saturated for a perfect state because, well, Fernando explained the perfect state, but basically perfect state is a state which if you split the system into half along any bipartition, the system is maximally entangled. And for perfect states, we can show that actually it has the lowest possible value of tripartite information. So therefore, hard random states nearly saturate the lower bound. So seems like it's a good measure of the chaotic behavior. So I still want to give a formal definition. Otherwise, I feel a bit uneasy. So this is my tentative definition. That is, well, you can do this setting, but the point is I choose region A and region C randomly with some probability P and Q, and I compute I3 function, but I want to normalize it nicely so that its maximal value is 1 by dividing this. Then I call the system is delta chaotic if this expectation value of the normalized I3 is larger than delta. So, and then you can see that let's take P and Q to be half, then a random unitary will be like this chaotic. So it's very chaotic. Okay, but this is just a tentative definition. And I think in some sense, this is along the spirit of the way Lashkari and his collaborator defined in their paper, the scrambling. And of course, as you know, there is another work which is related to chaos, which is basically it has been suggested that the four-point hidden correlators can detect chaotic behavior. The reason is in order to detect chaotic behavior, you should study this commutator between W and V. But W and V are originally local operators, but you need to time evolve W operator. And the indicator of such chaotic behavior would be like you just need to square it and study the correlator. This boils down to calculating a so-called out-of-time correlation function of the following. So now the question is this I3 business and this four-point correlator are related or not? And then for this part, we only have a partial result. That it seems related in a sense that if the system is very, very chaotic in a sense of I3 function, then we can show that it is also chaotic in a sense of four-point correlator. But this proof works only at at a strongly chaotic limit. So one difficulty is a four-point correlation function sort of related to Lenny 2 entropy, but this I3 is related to usual entanglement entropy. So we think that maybe we can improve the bound, but at this moment, we are still working on this. Really?
Yeah. If you're in Poisson field theory, so this just okay. You can
take to a software, there's a mistake. Listen to the merchant.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I can say that. Yes. So I agree. Yeah. So I3 is just summation of mutual information. So it's so at least it looks like it only looks at 2-point correlators, but somehow it can still detect chaotic behavior. So I don't know how these two things are related at this moment. But
the twist operator thing was not in your theory, it's in some other theory. I mean, the relation between the randomness and the twist operator. It's not 4-point functions in the theory he's considering. It's not so clear that one implies the other.
Yeah. So as I said, if the system is very, very chaotic, then I can bound Rennie to entropy too. But the bound may be not that tight, at least at the analytical level, which it seems a bit difficult. Okay, so that's, I think, enough for the introduction of all these formal arguments. So let's look at the actual system. So I just want to check if this tripartite information is a good measure of chaos or not. For this purpose, let me first study the well-studied system, that is Ising model, Ising systems. But the point is, if you have, so you have this ferromagnetic interaction, and if you tune the parameter like this, it's integrable. It's just a critical Ising model. But if you tune the parameter to be these values, then the system is known to be strongly chaotic. It's non-integrable. So this is non-ergodic, and this is ergodic. So we expect that for this system, I3 won't grow much, and then for this system, I3 will grow a lot. So we just did numerical simulation, and then so for now let's forget about this yellow curve. But so for blue line is basically this critical Ising model, but this is a red line is a chaotic model. So we normalize the function so that minus one.
U is e to the minus I h.
E to the sorry.
What is the relation U and h?
E to the I. So, and then I'm thinking about all the inputs, so it's like an infinite temperature. So, yes, so you can see the difference. And then just for fun, I also plotted the same I3 plot for Kitaev model, and then it seems it's fast scrambling, although it's very different. It's not that fair to compare these two models because this is one-dimensional model and this is zero-dimensional model, but still it looks like a fast scrambling. And then I also checked the 4-point correlator for Kitaev model at the infinite temperature case, and then seems that the scrambling time, like here and here, they match. So at least this I3 can look at what 4-point correlators are looking at. Okay, so that's first check. And the second check is probably like a holographic situation. But for this one, you just need to find geodesic, and then this calculation would be very easy. It's not easy for me, but for you guys, probably easy. so I would like to skip. But so what I want to check is basically, so according to the proposal by Hartmann and Maldacena, time evolution is like on this Einstein-Rosen bridge becomes longer and longer. So I want to ask if this scrambling related to the growth of the Einstein-Rosen bridge can be mimicked by a network of perfect tensors or not. So for this purpose, I would like to really simplify the problem and then assume that this is a purely planar network. So at each node, you have perfect tensors, like a Q-trick tensor, Fernand explained. Let's see if this I3 function for A, B, C, D grows in time, meaning that this length becomes longer and longer in time. So that's the question. And for the 4-point correlator, actually, it should grow for the network of perfect tensors. The reason is if you inject single body Pauli operator, let's say here, then because of the property of perfect tensor, this single body Pauli operator should split into two operators, definitely. So the size must grow. Then at the next layer, the size must grow again. So because of the perfectness of the tensors, the size, we can rigorously prove that the size of this operator will increase linearly. So after some long time, like time L, this operator becomes a very global operator. So the commutator between local operator would be non-zero. So the system should be chaotic. Now I want to compute I3 function for the network of perfect tensors. And so as Fernando explained, for a network of perfect tensors, you can distill entanglement by applying the, what he calls the greedy algorithm, or local moves of the geodesic lines. So now here you have places where two geodesic lines sort of collide. And then here in this collided geodesic line, you have EPR pairs, but you have some residual regions. And then this region is thoroughly responsible for multipartite entanglement between A, B, C, D. So with this picture in mind, all we need to do is we need to compute entanglement entropy for this rectangular-like situation, A, B, C, D, and compute entanglement entropy. And for generic perfect tensors, we don't know the answer, actually. But if you fix the perfect tensor and assume like a translation symmetry, then you can sometimes analytically compute the I3 function in this situation. So the claim is the following. So I'm not going to give you a proof, but if perfect tensor is made of CSS-type stabilizer state with prime bond dimension, we can prove that I3 goes like this. So when L and R are the same, like square-like network, then I3 becomes maximal. And that's something you can prove. And by the way, by CSS type, I mean that the stabilizer generator can be written as a product of power X or power Z separately. So Q-treat code is such an example. And if you accept this claim, then you can show that actually I3 grow linearly in time, exactly linearly in time until it gets saturated. So this part is rigorously proven for such perfect. So it seems like the system is really scrambling. So what we don't know is after the system gets scrambled, we naturally expect that the system will stay scrambled for a while. But for this part, it's actually very difficult to analytically prove. And in fact, the recurrence time of this network crucially relies on the system size. So for this, we only have a numerical result, but it seems that for prime value of L, recurrence time seems exponentially growing. So this problem can be reduced to some number theoretic problems, but it's a bit technical. Anyway, so that's near the end of my talk. So today I just proposed that this quantity, this very beautiful symmetric quantity, it was known to be a good order parameter to study topological phases and ADS-CFT correspondence, but maybe it's interesting to study in detecting fast scrambling or chaos. And so the connection between tripartite information and ADS-CFT was already known, but this connection was recently made. So what we are trying to establish is this connection. But the point is this I3 business is not restricted to black hole physics, but maybe it's interesting to compute I3 function in, let's say, many-body localization, single-body localization, and transition to ergodic phases, for instance. And also, this may be an interesting quantity to study in the context of quantum channel theory, and so on. So thank you very much.
So you used scrambling for a black hole Hawking radiation, was it? Did you use the word scrambling for black hole Hawking radiation?
Yes.
That is a chaotic process. Yes. Is that a chaotic process?
It seems that many people think so.
So what sort of interaction produces that chaos? Is it gravitational or is it some... imagined.
You mean you're asking like a microscopic mechanism to do that?
What is going to
happen? That I don't know the answer.
So just imagination that there might be chaos producing thermalization and scrambling.
Imagination or
I don't know.
I think it's commonly believed, but I so at least I don't know the microscopic mechanism to do scrambling. For example, Kitaev's new model will be a good scrambler, but I don't know.
Is there somehow more direct link to justify why the tripartite information is the important
quantitative
contribute to the
scrambling? But more direct.
Like everything knows around each other and therefore it's
velocity. So right, well, I was a bit sketchy about this argument, but I think this is essentially what it's very along the spirit of the definition of scrambling, at least originally given. That is, you do something to region A and then, but any local measurement don't wanna. So I think this is the only sensible quantity to look at. I don't know about, like, maybe you might should. I might should have like added some coefficient or not, but I think this is a reasonable quantity to look at.
Hey, would you expect that it would even more naturally generalize the sort of higher, I mean, if you had multi-partite system, that somehow it could be
to study not I3, but
I5
or I7.
Yes.
So that's a good question. So for example, let's take a perfect state. Then this perfect state has a maximal value of I3 and maximal value of I5 and I7 and I9 and so on. So in this sense, if you can create a perfect state, then all of I3, I5, all of them are saturated. But now creating a perfect state, it can be done in a polynomial amount of time because it's a stabilizer state. So we know that it can be done efficiently. So in this sense, I don't think we can see something beyond by measuring more like, I have this argument only for stabilizer state. So for many other state, I'm not sure, but at least for stabilizer state, I think that when I3 is saturated, then I5 will be nearly saturated, I7 will be nearly saturated.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, along the same lines, are you imagining that A and B are kind of the same size?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, you might have imagined if you're considering some system in a thermodynamic limit,
mm-hmm.
like in the spirit of ETH or something,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that maybe you want A and C to be very small.
Oh, yes,
to,
yes.
Does that matter? I mean, does it matter how big A is relative to B and C is relative to D?
Let's see. So, right. Of course, in the context of black hole, it's A is like the amount of information you throw into the black hole, and C is like the amount of, let's say, Hawking radiation you collected. So, right, maybe.
But all your simulations were like
for
A and B are the same size.
The same size, yeah. Because I just thought it's like the most natural choices we got, but. Yeah.
Kind of a general question. I'm wondering, I mean, I, as you mentioned, it does not distinguish entanglement.
Yes.
It's not sensitive to entanglement, the I3.
Mm, mm, mm.
So I'm wondering if it says something about chaos, whether the quantum is or not. I mean, there is the general question whether. What is quantum chaos and how does it differ from classical chaos? Is it kind of a coincidence that you get the curiosity? No,
it's a coincidence of what it is. So
I mean, if I3 really identifies a situation where there is a, chaotic forces of scrambling, and it does not identify entanglement. I mean, you have any...
So why does it doesn't identify entanglement?
You mentioned that it does not, it's not sensitive to tripod, like the...
so it's not sensitive to tripartite entanglement, but it's sensitive to four-party entanglement.
But not for tripartite entanglement.
Not tripartite.
Sure, for the whole system, it is sensitive, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, let's thank all the speakers.